Thank you for that testimony, Jeremy. Speaking of trunk or treat, don't volunteer people for things unless you talk to them first. Okay, yeah, I just get paid back, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got a good one for me. All right. Yeah, I appreciate that, Carla. So, also, just as, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn over to Nehemiah chapter 3. We'll be at 3 and 4 tonight. Just also want to share with you, there's a lot of changes going on in this church right now, from A to Z, in the ministries and in the church. You need to be patient with one another. Be patient. We need to be patient with each other. I'm going to keep saying that, patient with one another, okay? We need to be patient. All right? Some people may not be as fast as you, and other people may be faster than you, but be patient and kind, okay? All right, so we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 3. Just want to remind you that the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down. So there was a time when the walls were built up, but the people, through time, began to rebel against God, didn't want to live toward God, didn't want to live the way God wanted them to. It does a lot like people we are today. We say we believe in God, but we don't want to live the way God wants us to. And then everybody wants to know why the walls came tumbling down and why they got taken over by another country. And basically, they were forewarned because they were not following God's will. They were not listening to God, obeying God. They weren't giving God reverence. They weren't obeying the commands. And so this is what happens. They began and they got into captivity. And sometimes when we don't listen to what God has for us, we find ourselves in captivity of something. And so tonight, basically, as we're going to move into, as they begin to build on the wall, we also see with this piece here that so Jerusalem's walls were taken over and they were tore down and they were just, the whole city was just sacked. It was done. It was over. And so sometimes we may feel like it in our own life that we were building something great and awesome and all of a sudden it just got tore down and our whole life had been sacked and we just feel like we're nothing and we just are a bunch of leftovers. But there is a way to rebuild it, but you cannot rebuild it without God's power. You cannot rebuild a true life. You cannot build a real life without God being your builder, cornerstone being Jesus Christ. And you cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. God must be a part of it. And we know through Nehemiah, God was working through Nehemiah to get those things. He's got the things. He's got all the things that he needs. And we found out there are some naysayers, some negative people that come across anytime you're trying to do God's will and trying to rebuild your life, trying to do things. You'll always have negative people in your life, and sometimes they just might be family members. Okay? So that's where we are right now. So now we're building the wall. We're going to talk about now they're building the wall. They got the people. We found out last week that they replied and said, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And then negativity came, but they were ready. They said, we're going to do the work. I just want to share with you just a few things in chapter 3 here for a minute that we see here. Okay, we're going to... let me pick a spot. Let me pick one here for you. We want to pick over here in chapter 12. Verse 12. Shalom, son of Halahesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. So what we got is we got people that are working on rebuilding. They had to give people responsibilities to rebuild the walls and their sections. And so now we see that there's a set of people, there's a man here who's kind of in charge of half the land, but it seems like he doesn't have any men or any sons, but he has daughters. And so him and his daughters begin to do a work. And what we see here is some people that just seems like they would not be the typical workers on building these walls. So we see a man with his daughters building. We also see here one with the perfume, perfume makers. They repaired walls next to some other walls. So we have families and different people that are being repaired. But we also want to look in verse 8. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but the nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under the supervisors. We need to remember, anytime you're doing work, I'm going to tell you, Christmas is coming. There's going to be people that's not going to help decorate the church, and I'm going to hear names of people that did not help decorate the church. Listen, we know who don't help, okay? I'm just being honest. We know people that they just don't help. It's okay. Some people are working. Some people may be sick. I'm going to vouch for them, whatever. If they want to come, they can help. But you know what? I'm going to be here. Most of the time, I will be here. You will hopefully will be here because we do need it. We don't need to talk about the people that don't help. This list is about all the people that do help, but they did mention some people that should have been there, the noblemen, which were leaders. The leaders should have been there. And so we found out that leaders were not. It says the next section was repaired, but they did not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. They're a little above that. So we see these pieces here that people are doing and repairing the walls. And so the walls are torn down, and they begin to do this great work. And this thing, and this has got families here, you got families here, you got families here, and they're all putting in the work. And so with that, we know that some did longer sections, some did smaller sections, but they were all trying to get it all in. So we all need, sometimes we need other people to help us rebuild parts in our lives. Because most of the time when your life has been torn down, there were other people that helped you tear it down. Come on now. You were around people and they helped you tear it down. You got to change some faces, and then you got to help. If you want to be rebuilt, you got to get around some people that will help you rebuild, not tear down. Okay? Not tear it down. If you're going to tear it down, you know the walk, you know the place, you can take that walk, and you know they'll be right there with you to help tear it down. There's people right now ready to help tear your life down. People whose lives are torn down, they want to stay with people whose lives are torn down. That's where they'll associate with them until you decide you want to get your life built back up. You find that you can't do it with those types of people. Doesn't mean you don't love them, but they are in a mess and they need to rebuild their own walls in their life. You want to rebuild yours, you're going to have to get some people around you that their walls are built up, and you need some people to help you do some things that you can't do it because you can't rebuild it on your own. If you could, you would have done it already. If you could rebuild your own life, you would have done it already. But you need some people. You need some people that are good at this and some people that are good at that. Some people that are loving, some people that are caring. But don't look for people to enable you. If you jump on the people that will enable you, you're going to find yourself right back over there. And you're going to have this entitlement on you and you're not going to learn anything. And you'll be right back in the place where you started. So we see this thing. But I want to share, as they begin to build up, the people are watching. Everybody's watching. If you're rebuilding your life, people are watching. Nothing is heartbreaking than when you help and build, rebuild somebody's life and you're helping them. You got to be careful because as much as you invest, when the walls go tore down, it affects you too. So you got to be stronger than that, and you got to remember that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that you serve Him. Listen, Jesus was around a lot of people in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus was around a lot of people who were rebuilding their lives, and He saw that they didn't even come back. A matter of fact, Jesus healed somebody. He said, well, where's the one came back and just glorified the Lord? He said, where's the other nine? Some people you help rebuild, they forget who you are. They forget. But here it is. We need to remember that we do it for the Lord and for His works and for His kingdom. Amen? So now we move over to chapter 4. So that whole section 3 is about people that are rebuilding the walls and families and all that. It's a really good read. It's a little, lots of names that are hard to, but there's little pieces in there that are really good. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry. Listen, if you go to the bars, the owner becomes angry when you stop going there because you stopped giving him money. Same thing with drug use. Drug dealers don't like it because you stopped giving them money. Okay? And so here it is. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the walls, he became angry and was greatly incensed. And then he ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria. And he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are rebuilding, even if a fox climbed up on it, it would break down their walls of stone. What we see here is a lot of people that Nehemiah's got some problems and troubles, and here we got people trying to put more problems and troubles. And his troubles and problems is he's trying to build a wall, he's trying to stay focused, and the negative people are always trying to get you off focus. Think about it. When you're doing what you're trying to do, and people are talking into you, trying to speak into your life, and it's all this negative stuff, listen, they're trying to get you off. And they may not even realize it, but Satan is using them as a tool to get you off track. Get you off track from where God is trying to lead you. Listen, it's very quick to tear your life down. It's very difficult to rebuild your life. Because when you tear your life down, you lost your integrity. Your character has been damaged. All that has been damaged. And you have to rebuild that. And you don't earn that by saying, trust me. You've got to earn it back. And it takes time to do that. It takes a lot of time to do that. So we see this piece here. There were some people. So when one negative person gets on it, another negative person gets on it, and it just keeps compiling. And there's a bunch of people that are getting negative. And they begin. Then what happens is the leader comes out of there and they start making threats. And this is what they end up doing. And so others cannot accept the growth that's happening in your life. People get jealous. People get envious, even in the church. People do that, and they never stop working toward the trouble. They just keep doing that. But in the next piece, it says in verse 4, hear us. Now, this is how Nehemiah responds. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from the sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So he's saying these guys are trying to imitate the help. They're trying to imitate the builders. They're trying to desecrate by words and create bad character toward the builders that they might give up. And so here he is. How does Nehemiah do it? He takes his problems and his troubles to prayer, to God. That's what he does. The world says, put it in your hands and you take charge. We as believers are supposed to give it to God and let him do a work that only he can. Now, there's times when you got to stand up and protect yourself. But in this part here, and they're going to do that in the future, but here we find out that this is what he does. He's going to pray. Nehemiah is an awesome guy. He will pray, and then he's very, very practical. What do I need to do that I can do? But there's more that I can do that needs to be done that I cannot do. And he gives that to God. And so he takes it in prayer. He is a man of prayer. We see that in the chapter 1 when he heard about the people and his country and the walls. So he says in verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall until all of it was reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. There is nothing better than a church when it's working with all their heart. Nothing better. I think we are doing tremendously better than we were 12 months ago. Better than we were 6 months ago. We are strengthening. We are growing stronger. And sometimes people will look at the numbers, but it's not just numbers. It is us as individuals. Us as a church collectively, we are getting stronger as individuals. And we are getting stronger as a church. And when you do that, it becomes growing pains. All right? And that's why I'm telling you, we need to be patient with one another because we are building. Some of us are building walls in our church faster than others in different ministries that you have. Others, it's going to take a little bit longer because your ministry might be, wherever you serve, might be a little more difficult than others. It might have been not as strong in the wall character that we're trying to raise up. My question for you leaders is going to be this. When I walk by you, I might just ask you this. What are you studying in the Bible this week? What was your devotion this week? How are you trying to improve where you are serving in this church? How are you becoming stronger than you were 6 months ago? How are you self-educating yourself biblically and through ministry? Because we need to keep rising in our strength and knowledge of what we do. Like our nursery is all over. I mean, there's a lot of changes in there. There's a lot of changes in other parts of our church, and especially with our services being flipped, and just a lot of change. And young people love, they'll do more change than older people. And sometimes us olders, you got to be patient with us, and we got to be patient with you. And mistakes are not something that we should be upset about. Mistakes are going to happen. There's going to be sometimes when you're going to have to stop what you're doing, and you're going to have to go over and help somebody else pick up some bricks a little bit. Because you might be so far ahead that you need to, it's not about you getting to the top as fast as you can. It's about creating the whole wall. Right? So we need to be patient. And understanding and caring, and if there is be constructive. I don't want to say criticism, but sometimes we have a criticism. But be constructive and loving and err. Speak in love and patience. Okay, Love and patience. Don't take anything offensive if I tell you something. Like I went to Ashley and I said, okay, I sat in her class. I probably intimidated her sitting in her class. And I just came up and said one or two things. And I didn't want you to be all like, oh my gosh, he said this, he said that. All I was doing was trying to help you in that class. Nothing negative towards you. Take it. Because listen, if you're in ministry, you're going to have to grow some rhino skin right now. Because people are going to say some things. They're going to cut you with words. They're going to cut words in your face, and they're going to cut words more behind your back. And you're going to have to be, because you're supposed to wear, you're supposed to wear some type of armor. I don't know where that's in the Bible, but you're supposed to wear some kind of breastplate and the belt of truth and all of that. And armor should be, you know, I keep talking about rhino skin, but really we're supposed to be wearing the armor of God, right? Ephesians chapter 6, I'll help you out a little bit. But we need to do that. So when I say something to you or you say something to me, it should be in love. But we can't avoid certain things. We need to talk about them, right? Yes, but these guys, they wanted to be negative. They wanted to be negative. As soon as something good happens, these guys were always there. So we built the wall, and they were all worked with all their hearts. But when Sambalot, Tobiah, and the Arabs, man, it just the crowd keeps growing stronger. First it was Sambalot. And then you've seen Tobiah jump on. Then you've seen Geshem jump on. Now we're looking at crowds. Tobiah, then the Arabs, and the Amorites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed. That means work was getting done. They were very angry. You know, when we started some of our ministry, it fueled some of the other churches. I'll just be honest. I know it fueled some of the other churches. Some of the ministries that they did fueled some of the other churches. We shouldn't be that way, should we? Because the wall really isn't about what walls we build. Do you know it's a kingdom wall, not a new life wall? It's a kingdom wall, not a new life wall. But you are building your walls. And some of your walls are not looking so strong, right? So we need to close those gaps. It says they were very angry and they plotted together to come to fight against Jerusalem. If they can't handle it by words, now they're ready to fight, okay? And so all the trouble was against it, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day, night to meet this threat. So listen, you pray, but you also got to do your part and you got to be practical. Listen, if they're coming after us, we got to put some guards out here. We got to put some people out here to make sure they don't get through the gaps. So they did that. But it says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said this. So they heard some words that were going on. The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Whew, we got halfway. Now, this is almost like, okay, imagine yourself going swimming. You're like, okay, my goal is to swim across the lake. And you're out there with people, and you're seeing people doing it, and you're getting out. So you get out there, and you get out there, and you start off really strong. And you swim out there, and all of a sudden you get out there about a quarter, and you're like, I got this thing. I got it. Then you get out there, and you start getting tired. And you make it about halfway, and then you just kind of just tread water, and you go, I'm exhausted. I think I'm going to turn around and go back. And people will do that. They will turn around, and they'll go back. Now, I hope that just didn't go over y'all's head. But some people will do that. They will go halfway there and get exhausted and turn around and go back. And it takes just as much energy to go back there, except that it is to go there. But the problem is, listen, when you go back, you're defeated. When you go forward, you have victory. And so many people quit halfway through it. Halfway through sobriety. Halfway through their family problems. Halfway through, do I get a divorce or not? And I'm really working it, stretching it out. Halfway through it. Halfway doesn't get you there. Halfway is the point where we're thinking, do I need to keep going? There are times that we need to keep going. It says, also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to this work. There are some people that are just so furious that this is going on. You know who's behind all that? It's not God. It's Lucifer. It's Satan, the devil. He's behind that. Listen, if he's got you in the trenches, he's going to want to keep you there, okay? He's going to want to keep you there. And I always say this, he always wants to remind you of your past, and Jesus always wants to remind you of your future. Because Jesus is about being eternal, and Satan doesn't want to talk about eternal because he knows that he don't have that. He likes the past when we're all been messed up and our lives are all beat down and our walls are all trashed down and we've been sacked as an individual and we can't get up. But through Christ, we can stand up and have eternal life and have a future. And Jesus keeps telling us, don't stay down, but get up and go forward and finish this race. And the Jews who were lived there near them came and told us 10 times over. They kept telling us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So there was the threat never left. But sometimes the threat never leaves. We deal with spiritual warfare. Sometimes it never really leaves. It may stay quiet for a moment, but I just believe it's never going to leave this area. I just almost believe it just may never leave this area of Huntington. But this is where we are. But the threat may never leave, but that doesn't mean we stop building. We don't stop building. And we need to remember, we are all returned to the wall. This is what they did. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. Listen, if you think and process and you keep focusing on that negative, you'll start to believe some of those lies. You'll start to fall into that. You'll stop working. You'll start going. You'll recess. You'll go backwards. But these guys says, we all return to the wall. They said, let's get back to business. This is what we're doing. When you stay focused and you stay steady, you're stronger. You're stronger. You're less likely to have a relapse when you stay focused and you're working, you keep your hands on. You're less likely to walk away from the Lord when you're focused and you just keep doing what God's called you to do, and they're rebuilding that. And that's what some of us need to do. We need to keep at the work that God has called us to do. From that day on, verse 16, from that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. There are times when it looks like I'm working 24 hours a day. We're working 24 hours a day. We're working 24 hours a day. But listen, there's going to come a time when it's over. We're going to get there on how long it took to build this wall in another week. But I want to tell you, listen, the toughest part is right now. When you get to that halfway point, everybody gets excited when the new ministry happens. Everybody gets excited when Wednesday night all of a sudden came to service from Sunday night came to Wednesday night. We had a great crowd the first 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it kind of trickles. But that's what happens. Everybody gets excited at the halfway point. But you don't get it until you cross the finish line. That's why they continue to instruct us. Cross the finish line. Finish your race. Run your race well. You don't receive the trophy or a victory crown until you cross the finish line. Listen, people, guys that have, I'm telling you, we have to make sure that we maintain good integrity as a church, but as individuals, we have good character, that the things we did in the past are testimonies just to help other people, as Jeremy spoke. So the things in my past are here to help me and to continue to strengthen me, but also strengthen my brothers. But I need to remember that I need to keep my hands to the task of what God has called us to do. This church is doing that right now. We are building, and I notice some little things that negativity surprises up in different ways, and confusion, and things that the devil likes to do. When you're doing the work of the Lord, he is always, seems like I said last week, when the light is shining, it seems like darkness is always lurking in the shadows. It's always trying to find a place where it can fit in, where it can do some damage. But I want to tell you, here it is. Nehemiah has one mission, and that mission is to rebuild these walls. A couple of things he doesn't realize, there's a couple of things he's going to have to deal with here shortly, but they are focused. It says, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. Everybody knew where they need to be. Don't be afraid of them, he says. Don't be afraid. Stay focused. You have to have encouragers in the church. You know, the Bible tells us that is a spiritual gift. We can all be encouragers, but there are some of you out there that God specifically said, extra encourager, extra encourager, extra encourager, extra encourager. Why? Because he knows the church needs it. Sometimes people need more than just an attaboy or, hey, you did good, girl. Sometimes we need people to say, hey, you just keep on striving. You just keep on going. I've been watching you. You've been growing. You've been working it hard. Hey, I noticed you haven't been looking like, you know, you didn't have that oomph in your spirit like you've been. What's going on there? Hey, you can get through this. And then we need more of our encouragers, whoever you may be, to get that, pull that spiritual gift out of your back pocket and put it in the front of you and start using it, because this church needs it. This church needs it. And but I'm very excited about where this church is at right now. I'm very excited about where many of you are going. I just want to remind you to be patient, to be kind, to be encouraging, because we always have enough naysayers. We have enough naysayers. Not that we have a lot in our church, but we have the community. We have a community that we need to love. But there are some people that don't care for us. But that's okay. That's okay. I believe God has given us favor in our church. He continues to give us more favor, more than most of us know. Because God had a vision, and his vision was to create these ministries, to create a church that was in this part of the community. He had a vision, and it's his. It's not mine, it's his. He allowed me to see it, but it's his. And he's pretty faithful. I believe that every lady that comes through our life house, every person that comes through our mill ministry, every person that's going to come in the future of these doors or whatever, I believe God brings them here. Whatever doors we have that they are allowed second chances, whatever chances it is, because I have to look in the mirror and how many chances did God give me? But sometimes you do have to say no. My prayer for you tonight is this. So we're just going to stand. We're going to have a moment where we always do this. If you,